There was a vacuum cleaner salesman in rural Tennessee, and he knocked on the door of a farmhouse, and he told the lady, he said, I've got the most exciting vacuum cleaner that you've ever seen. It'll clean your house top to bottom, and you only have to pay so much. The lady says, boy, that sounds really good. He said, see a big pile of dirt over there with all of those fur balls and bugs and things? He said, my vacuum cleaner will pick up those things just like they don't exist. And if it doesn't, I'll eat it. She said, well, you might as well get your knife and fork out because we don't got no electricity here. Power. We need power. And power is one thing that nations and politicians and business leaders covet. But the power that we need is not an earthly power. God has promised believers spiritual power. Everything about the American way of life teaches that you get what you earn in life, you get what you pay for. We value work and sweat and performance. It's called the American work ethic, and in itself, it's good. The only problem is that it causes us to think that we relate to God in that way. God does not relate to us on the basis of our performance. God does not relate based on our effort and our work and how hard we try. The Bible says that everything God does in our lives, including how God relates to us and every blessing that we have in life, comes by His grace as a free gift. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. It's a free gift from God. Everything in our life is a gift of His grace. Now you might say, wait a minute, the things I have, I earned. Look, you wouldn't have the strength to work, you wouldn't have the mental ability, you wouldn't have the energy to work if God didn't give it to you. Every breath you take is a gift from God. Your next breath is a gift of God's grace. The Bible is very clear that God saves us by His grace. He blesses us by His grace. He teaches us by His grace. He uses us to help other people and to touch their lives by His grace. God keeps us saved by His grace. And He takes us to heaven by His amazing grace. In my life, everything good is a gift from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10 says, whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out such kindness and grace on me. It's all because of His grace. John 1:16 says, from the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Last week we talked about the five essentials you need in life in order to live life to the full. You could exist without them, but you cannot fully live without these things. You need power to live on. You need people to live with because we are made for relationships. You need principles to live by. You need a plan to live out, and you need a purpose to live for. These are life's essentials. And if any of these are missing in your life, you're not living as God meant you to live. You're just existing. All these things are gifts of God's grace. You don't earn power to live on. God gives it to you. You don't earn the right people to live with. God gives them to you. You don't deserve a purpose or a plan to live out. It's a gracious gift of God's grace. So today let's answer the question, what is grace? What is grace? Dear Father, we pray that you will help us to understand more fully than ever before your grace for us and how we need to rely upon your grace, and that you are just waiting to be able to give us what it is we need because of your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may think that maybe God disapproves of you. And though you're not saved by your own efforts, you're constantly trying to appease God. Perhaps you're thinking, God's ticked off at me today because of what I did yesterday. And some of you think about God as like an unpleasable parent, saying, that's not good enough. Can't you do any better than that? Come on, get your act together. When will you start acting right? You have this constant sense of condemnation. And that's why you don't really want to spend time with God, because you think he's always mad at you. You really want to get close to someone who's always criticizing you? You steer clear of that person, don't you? The problem is you don't understand grace. There are many, many definitions of grace. We've looked at a few. We did a whole series on grace not that long ago. And some of these were, grace is God's love in action. Grace is when God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Grace is giving to me what I desperately need, that which I don't deserve, which I could never repay, but God gives it to me anyway. Grace is the face that God puts on when he looks at my failures, my faults, and my mistakes. Many people confuse grace with mercy. They're two different things. They come from God, but they're two different things. Mercy is when God does not give you what you do deserve. That's mercy. Have you ever done something wrong and gotten away with it? We've all gotten off scot-free on a lot of things that we deserve to be disciplined for. When God doesn't give you what you truly deserve, that's called mercy. On the other hand, when God gives you what you do not deserve, what you've not earned, that's called grace. I want you to not just understand grace today. I want you to feel loved by God, to sense God's unconditional grace. Many of you might be familiar with the acrostic definition of grace. It's a simple one that we give to children when we're teaching them. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. But to help us expand on that, I want us to look at a somewhat different acrostic. First of all, G stands for God's gift to me. God's gift to me. It's a total gift of God. Now, maybe you can go into your neighborhood and you can ask 10 neighbors, how do I get to heaven? You get similar answers most of the time. Most people think this, work real hard and try to do your best. Be sincere and nice to people. Just try to do more good than bad, because maybe God grades on a curve. And if your good works outnumber your bad works, maybe he'll say, oh, you're a good, sincere person. Come on in. So most people think that they're going to go to heaven by being good. Here's the problem. Imperfect you and me cannot be good enough to go to a perfect heaven. There's no way you're ever going to work, earn, or buy your way into heaven. You can't be that good. I can guarantee you, on the basis of God's word, it's not going to happen that way. The Bible says there's only one way you're going to get into heaven. It's a gift of God by His grace. You can never earn it. You can never buy it. You could never work your way or get enough credits to get into heaven. There's no chance you're going to make it into heaven except by receiving God's free gift of grace. You can't be good enough. Romans 11:6 says, if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. That means it's God's free gift to me. This is the crucial difference between Christianity, biblical Christianity, and every other faith or religion. If you studied all the religions of the world, you could summarize every religion except for biblical Christianity. You could summarize them by the two-letter word, do. Do. Depending on which religion you look at, there's a different list of do's and don'ts. The lists differ, but each of them have one thing in common. According to their version of God, you must earn God's approval. Earn it. You have to earn your way to their idea of heaven by doing certain things and abstaining from other things. And if you do these certain things, then their God says, you're approved. The Bible says the exact opposite. The exact opposite. The Bible says that the way you get to know God and have a personal relationship with Him, have your sins forgiven, and get into heaven is by accepting what He has already done for you. So who did it? It's Jesus Christ. Accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. He did it on the cross. And if you were to summarize the Christian faith, it would be not the word do, but the word done. Done. D-O-N-E. It's already been done for you. So do versus done. Jesus did it all. It's a free gift to you. Accept it and receive it. There was an evangelistic meeting, and a young man was there, and after the invitation was given, he went up front, and he was talking to the evangelist, and he said, what do I have to do to be saved? The preacher replied, you're too late. The seeker was really shocked. He didn't expect an answer like that. He said, what do you mean it's too late? The preacher said, what needed to be done was done 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ. Now all you can do is just accept it. There's nothing else you can do to add on to what has already been done for you by Jesus Christ in order for you to get into heaven. Grace is God's gift to you. Your only part in salvation is to simply accept the fact that it was all done for you, and that's called grace. That's God's gift to you. Romans 3:24, we're familiar with Romans 3:23, and I'll cite that in a little bit, but Romans 3:24 says all of us need to be made right with God. How's that? By His grace, which is a free gift through Jesus Christ. Is that mark grace and free gift? Look in your bulletin insert. Mark, grace, free gift. That's the best gift you're ever going to be offered, bar none. There's no better gift than that. This is a free gift that goes on for eternity through Jesus Christ. It's a priceless gift. You'll never be offered a better deal than that. So gift, G. R stands for received by faith. Received by faith. Grace is received by faith. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. Neither do I. Grace is received by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves." That means that even the faith you have is also a gift from God. He gives you the faith to believe him. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's a free gift. Romans 4:16 says, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace." Salvation is not earned on my performance. It's earned on God's promise. It's not based on my merit, it's on God's mercy. Not on my goodness, but on God's grace. The Bible's full of stories illustrating God's grace. Probably one of the most familiar ones is the story of the Good Samaritan who helps the guy who was mugged and robbed of all of his money. And after the Good Samaritan helps him, there's no way that man could ever repay. No way we could possibly repay God for all that he's done for us. People who've received the grace of God have more reason to be happy than anyone else. Why is that? Well, in the first place, my sins have been forgiven. In the second place, we have a purpose for living right now. And in the third place, we have an eternal home in heaven. These are the three big issues that are resolved by God's free gift of grace. Everything else is minor by comparison. If you haven't accepted the gift of God, the grace of God, you have some serious issues to deal with. You feel guilty about the past. You feel pressured about the present. And you're worried about the future, and you wonder why you're not happy. But when these issues have been settled by the grace of God, Christians of all people ought to experience freedom and joy because it's God's gift to us. It's received by faith. A stands for available to all. Available to all. Everyone. What's that mean? It means God doesn't play favorites. Regardless of your status or background, regardless of the sins that you've committed, God loves you. Unconditionally. And God's grace is freely available for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. He wants you to come home to him. He wants to shower his grace upon you. It's available to everyone who will receive it. Notice it's for all of us. All of us come to God in the same way, through faith in the grace of God revealed through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's available to everyone, everybody. Grace is available to you. You won't understand what it means to have a relationship with God without understanding grace. Because it's only through God's grace that you can have a personal relationship with God. That is the heart of biblical Christianity. It's a matter of following Jesus Christ. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God's grace is available to you. The C stands for comes through Christ. Comes through Christ. Grace comes through Jesus Christ, God's Son. In Acts 15, verse 11, we read, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved." Now, let me answer the question, why is it that grace only comes through Jesus Christ? Because he's the only one who paid for it. No one else volunteered to pay for your sins and the price for all the good things that God wants to give to you. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ his life. And that's how expensive our ticket into heaven is. That's how expensive the penalty was for all the sins that I've committed and you've committed. And now won't have to pay for. It cost God his very own Son. And that is how much he loves you and loves me. Grace is free, but it's not cheap because someone had to pay for it. Let's say that when you get home today, a gift was delivered to your door. It was free to you, but somewhere, somehow, somebody had to pay for it. In just the same way, your gift of salvation, your gift of forgiveness, your gift of eternal life, your gift of purpose in life, your gift of all the good things that you have, someone had to pay for it. God loves you. Grace comes through Christ. Romans 5:15. This one man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's mercy. So why does God not require penance from us? Because all the punishment, get that word, all the punishment was taken by Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. So when you blow it, you don't have to say, "Oh God, I know you're really ticked off at me today." Instead, say, "God, your grace forgives what I just did, and I need your grace to help me not to do that again." It comes through Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." The Message paraphrased that by, Jesus has the power of God. His power has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. And we have these things not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, not because we're good enough, not because we're worth it, but because we know him. There's only one way to receive God's grace, and it's to know Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life. Grace is all God does for you on the basis of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. He paid the whole price for your forgiveness. I don't know how to say it any clearer than this, but there is nothing that you will ever do that could ever possibly do that will make God love you more than he loves you right now. And you can't make God love you less no matter what you do. God loves you because his love is not based on your performance. It's based on his promise of grace. Not on your merit, but on his mercy. Not on your goodness, but on his grace. If you ever grasp this, it will change your life. You will not be running from God all the time, worrying about what he thinks. Instead, you'll run to him every time you fail. You don't run to somebody who wants to scold you. You run to somebody who wants to help you up. What are you most ashamed of? What is the skeleton in the closet that you wish you had never done and you hope nobody ever finds out about? It probably came to mind when I just mentioned that. I'm sorry. But you can feel yourself tensing up a little bit about that now. Even now, there may be something that you're caught in right now that you can't get out of. And that's what God's grace is for. There is no therapy in the world, no pill, no book, no seminar that can make the kinds of changes that have happened in so many people's lives. Only the grace of God can do that. And you and I need that. God wants to take the things that you are most ashamed of in your life, and he wants to forgive them, to wash them away, to wipe them out, and give you a fresh start because your past is not your present. You don't have to be the same anymore. You can start over a new life, a new love with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all available, not by earning it or working for it. It's a gift if you will just accept it. Heard of a lady that was very ashamed of some things in her life, and she was by herself down at the beach, and she was thinking about those things, and when a wave washed up and some droplets splashed up onto her hand, the Lord impressed these thoughts on her, which she wrote down in her journal. She said, "See those drops of water on your hand? That represents your sins and your shame. You see this vast ocean out here in front of you? That represents my grace and my mercy. If you were to shake your hand and fling the drops off into that ocean, would you ever find them again? No. Would you ever be able to pull them back? Not at all, but that's your choice. You can either hold on to your shame, the things that you're thinking about right now that you wish had never happened, your sins, and you can be miserable, or you can fling them into the ocean of God's grace, mercy, and love. It's your choice. Why would anyone hold on to such misery when someone loves them that much?" So she took her hand and she flung the droplets off into the ocean. And symbolically, that said, "You are free. Not just now, but forever." The fifth element of God's grace is extended throughout eternity. Extended throughout eternity. The Bible says this in Romans 3:23, "The wages of sin is death." That's the bad news. But the good news is the rest of the verse. "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the gift that will last forever. You might say that grace is the gift that keeps on giving. God saves the best for last. When you get to know Jesus Christ, his grace and his love extends through throughout eternity, and the best is yet to come. What's heaven going to be like? Well, one of the things is you're going to be reunited with loved ones who also know the Lord. You're going to be rewarded for your faith as you work not to earn anything, but to serve Him and to minister to the lives of other people. You'll be assigned work that you love to do. You'll be released from depression and pain and despair and shame and guilt. And you're going to rejoice for all eternity. What a deal! But there's a catch. The catch is you must accept it. You must accept it. Suppose you found a gift on your doorstep when you got home today and you left it there unopened for the next month. Would that be smart? No, to the contrary. A gift is quite worthless unless you actually accept it. You must accept God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. I can't fathom why anyone would have everything they need for life freely offered to them. And yet they say, no, I think I'll just hold on to my guilt and sin and shame and go to hell. Is that dumb or what? Yet a lot of people do that. The Bible says in Isaiah 30:18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He's waiting for you to accept His gift. He enjoys being gracious to you. He isn't mad at you. He's not sitting there ready to scold you. He's saying, come on home. Now, some of you may have held off because you're afraid of being rejected. Some of you have suffered rejection from someone who meant a lot to you, maybe a spouse or a parent or a friend or someone else. But there is one person who will never reject you. His name is Jesus Christ. He's saying, come home. And you've been secretly overwhelmed by that shame in your life. You can get rid of it today. You can walk out of here with a clear conscience. The more you understand the grace of God, the more you fall in love with God, the more you want to draw closer to Jesus. Because it's almost impossible not to love someone who loves you that much. You know God's grace in your life? Can you feel how much He loves you? He says, I see every stupid thing you've ever done, and I still love you. He wraps His arms around you and He says, you matter to me. God's grace is available to you right here and right now. There's no reason to delay. Perhaps this is the reason He brought you here this morning. What are you waiting for? Let me encourage you to pray this prayer in your mind right now. It'll be up on the screen. Dear God, I can never be perfect enough to earn a place in your perfect heaven. The only way I can get in is by believing in your grace. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you give me what I need, not what I deserve. Thank you, Jesus, for my forgiveness that you paid for on the cross. By faith, I accept your grace today. Guide my life from this day forward. Thank you that by your grace, I am forgiven of my past. That you give me a purpose in the present and a home in heaven in the future. Thank you for coming into my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And dear Father, for those who have prayed that prayer in faith, that they will know that they are yours and you are theirs. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.